So let's get started with the rest of this. You know, you might have noticed that we have a few people here that were here then that aren't here now. And, you know, it's not a sad thing. It's a joyous thing that many of those people, almost one a year, if you start doing the numbers, have passed on and have the reward. So it's a joyous thing. They're much happier in that life. You know, there's no problem for this. We feel sorry for ourselves sometimes because we miss them, but it's not a sad for them. We got to be happy for them. And I feel good about all those members, 10 or 11 from Bradley alone, that were on that video that's went to the reward. So that's a good thing. I wanted to talk, you know, that was a praise and that was a dedication and the whole thing was much music. And it fits into the Thanksgiving theme, if you will. So I wanted to talk about what this slideshow might be. I was watching some commercials over the when I was watching the Lions play football, and three commercials came on of note that I thought I would mention. As I was talking about this subject anyway. And the first one was I don't have that. That's okay. But it was about Santa Claus, and he was bringing presents for the holidays. And there was no mention throughout the whole thing for Christmas. And, you know, I thought about it, and we've lost that war. You know, nobody will, even the markers, they will not say Merry Christmas. And how many people does it offend? It offends much more if you don't say it. So I don't know how we've lost that battle, but we lost it. Commercialism won out first, and now even this mention of Christ is lost. It's so sad. Here's another one, and I will turn this up, and hopefully I'll watch the feedback.
At Zales, we believe the world needs more love that lasts. Love that grows.
The Zales commercial.
Love that's worth waiting for. Love that answers the kind of questions your smartphone cannot. That's a diamond kind of love. It inspires everything we do at Zales. It's why we set each diamond
they have a whole line.
In this brilliance collection to sparkle from every angle as a statement worthy of your lifetime of love. Zales,
wedding rings store. For homosexual couples. A whole line now. And Zales is your company if you want, are interested in that sort of thing. And, you know, that's the point that I bring that up. These people, these companies, do listen to the dollar. And, you know, we've almost lost that battle, too. And you get Target with has transgender bathrooms and Zales that's pushing diamond rings for homosexual couples. And how many percentage are actually homosexual? I mean, every study that I've seen, it's two, perhaps three. If it's a liberal organization, they might say 3%.
And once the children are seeing they're transgender, it's the parents. I was tomboy till way into my teens. Now they have to have a name for it.
Yeah.
And it's not good for the kids. It's not.
Right. And where this can lead, and the reason I bring it up is if we have are complacent about things, the Christian community makes up a third of the electorate, 33% of the electorate. They are a huge block. The homosexual community is 2%. You know, we should have our way, but we are complacent. And that's the problem. The Christian community has to find their voice. You know, it's not the, you know, it's in the Old, the New Testament. It's consistent. Just turn back to Sodom and Gomorrah if you want to know how God feels about it. You don't have to take Paul's word or any of the others' word. Turn back to Sodom and Gomorrah and think what God did, you know, for that reason. Another commercial.
Frank asked Rob if he would have a lot to say about homosexuals in the pulpit.
Yeah, they can pass. It will get spoke. But that's right. Where, you know, and for instance, where this leads is you got Canada just elected a homosexual, I think, definitely a homosexual agenda, and they make their kids now dress up transgender. They have to act out the transgender part, and it's a law that they have to. And that's where you go. You know, it's just say, oh, let live and let live. No, they're going to take your children and they're going to modify their behavior. Look at our colleges, how they're modified their behaviors. Here's another one. Let's see what this got. Now, this is all one or two football games, these commercials are on.
Praise the mill. Praise the rig, praise the rope, and the pulp, and the die. Praise the time card, the green card, the union card, and the WIC card. Praise the single working mother, bright-eyed and bone-tired. Praise the coffee, praise the cup. Praise the daycare open late. Praise the dinner, now cold. Praise the cranes, reaching their giant hands up into a cloudless sky. Praise the lonely, laboring in the white linoleum glow of midnight halls.
Sorry. Let's pick up that right about there.
Praise the second shift, early Saturday. Praise the candle, lit at both ends. Praise the snow, just as it begins to fall. Praise all who sacrifice time at home for the one day dream of their children's lives outside of it. Praise the workers. Praise the work.
Okay, that didn't sound too offensive, did it? Yeah, you know, that was glaringly missing from that. Here's a Thanksgiving commercial, and we're to be thankful, aren't we? But who are we to be thankful for? They didn't mention God one bit. So, you know, if you look at that, they said, thanks for the time card. Praise the time card. Not thank God for the time card. None of that. Praise the coffee cup. Praise the rope. They even said, praise the floor. But no mention of who to praise. You know, that would have been acceptable to me. You know, that would have been okay. But they didn't say that. They didn't thank God for any of this. It was praise the worker. Praise labor is what their message was. You know, and for these events that we're losing the battle, and I think this is appropriate what Paul had to say through the inspiration. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Many of these things are not flesh and blood. He has a very organized team there. And there is very subtle thing. You know, we lost, if you will, we lost Thanksgiving. Started losing it a while ago, you know. What's the most important thing when you think of Thanksgiving, you know? Nowadays, people start thinking about Black Friday. You know, the commercial side of things. They already had Christmas, you know, with the commercial side of Santa Claus, and they introduced him to bring presents and buy more. And then they introduce Thanksgiving commercialism. And so now they even start that on Thursday. You know, there wasn't hardly a store out there that didn't start celebrating Thanksgiving, selling gifts. And I buy. But it's not my most important day for that reason. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind. There's nothing wrong with getting a deal or buying stuff. We buy stuff all the time, but we can't let it take away why the day was established. And that's the point. And that's what they've, you know, it's really glaring when I watched that commercial. It just, what are you saying? And I hope you guys caught that because that's what they're trying to do. It's a conscious effort to take God out of the equation. And it's the first shot. The first shot was commercialism, selling Black Friday, then next moving it to Thursday. And I think now it's to be thankful for the worker. Thankful for these, thank these things, not God. And it's just appalling. Praise is mentioned 288 times in the scriptures. I did read all of them to make sure that I wasn't missing something. And certainly, I never frown once that we praise the floor, the rope, the cup, or the time card. Almost every occasion, who do you think they praise? When it says praise, followed by who? I lose you already? Praise the Lord, praise God, almost every time in different ways to say it. That's what they say, praise or thanksgiving. And now there's a couple of times it doesn't, and it's usually people do this for the praise of man. And it's always a negative thing when they mention praise. And there's nothing wrong with praising our children or when they deserve it, I guess. But it doesn't have it that way in the Bible, I'll tell you that. Here's what Dodge says. Recognizes who labor and make our families in this nation strong. Recognize all who labor and make their families and this nation strong. So is that what makes our family strong, our work? You know, certainly we're told to work that, you know, work or unless you don't want to eat, it says that we must work and it's good for us and everything. But is that what makes this nation strong? Do we believe that? The scripture here that says in 1 Nephi 3:154, and I beheld that the power of God was with them, talking about the people that came to this country. And also that wrath of God was poured upon all them who gathered against them to battle, and that was England. And I, Nephi, beheld the Gentiles which had gone out of captivity were delivered by the power out of the hands of all other nations. So these people that came from Europe, England, they had gone forth out of captivity. That sounds a little strange, doesn't it? But it's absolutely true. If you watch the movie Monumental, you can find it on the web. It's free to watch. It's with Cameron as the actor, and it's very well done. Keith Cameron? Kurt. Very well done. It will show you they did go out of captivity. And that's absolutely a true statement. And
it makes his children. And children are the ones that makes his children. And he even mentions God to a good amount that it was God giving people.
Well, it doesn't surprise me about Rush. We had a comment from, for those streaming, we had a comment out there about Rush. Has some children's books to mention God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that they did prosper in the land. And so what does this verse tell us? What does these verses tell us? That we prospered, I know you all know this, we prospered in this nation because God's Spirit was upon us. And He protected us, and He prospered us. And this isn't the only sentence that says this. I can go to a couple, you know, six before this. It's saying is he prospered us, and His Spirit was with them, and that is why we're great. And the minute we start thinking, it's because our own labor, our own wisdom, has anything to do with it, we're going the wrong way. And, you know, the thing about it is we recognize that. Not just as a church, because we have the scriptures, but the early founding fathers recognized those very things. We weren't blessed or we weren't that prosperous because we are so intelligent. It wasn't that at all. Praise. When it mentions praise in the scriptures, these are the things it means. Give thanks. Confess. Make confession. Who are we confessing to? Who are we praising? It's God. You know, right by the definition, and this is given over 100 times, this particular one in the scriptures. Praise is also given in a different context, a different Greek word, or Hebrew word, sorry. And it means to sing, or sing psalms. Like much of that service that we showed that happened 17 years ago. The dedication. That was a praise service. It was to sing songs in honor of Jesus Christ, thank Him for the building, to thank Him for what we have. That's a praise service, if you will. What was the reason for Thanksgiving? What was it set up? For He is worthy. Let us remember our place. Psalms 18:3 says this, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. It implies, does it not, that maybe there's people that don't deserve praise? God Almighty, Jesus Christ, is to be praised. Mosiah 2:20 says this, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness in His goodness and long suffering towards you, you unworthy creatures. I don't think Mosiah is of the opinion that we are worthy of praise, is it? So I thought that was my echo back again. we are to remember that. You know, that's His counsel, and no doubt the inspired words of. You know, it's when we start thinking we're something that we are filled with pride, and that's our number one enemy for humans, that pride. It comes in. We can't hardly open our mouth when we don't want to say something nice about ourselves. You know, it's a constant battle. And, you know, He helps us get a handle on that. But so I don't like praising the coffee cup even or praising somebody else uncarelessly. It's God that deserves the praise. He is the worthy. In 1607, here's where you guys are going to answer a few questions. Settlers in Maine united with the Abenaki Indians for a harvest feast. I got some papers I'm hoping I brought today. Who were these group of sailors in 1607? Dutch people. Who was they? What was the name of the boat? Mayflower. That hauled who over here? Pilgrims. That's right. Absolutely right. When did it sail? Yeah, this is hard, isn't it? Those boats were called something else, weren't they? Pinta? Right. But most of our history, we're inundated with the pilgrims. Because what country did they come from? The Columbus? Spain. It was a Catholic. This nation wasn't founded that way. They didn't settle. They didn't settle. So in between 1492 and 1620, actually, this is before that, there was probably 75 boats that came to the United States, all right? Probably 75. Many boats. We're familiar with the 1620, the pilgrims. They brought our religion, if you will, the Christian, very stout Christian. They were blessed. They were destined to come here. They started cities. Okay, Jamestown. And but we're not from, and most of those in between there all came from England also. But this is one of the groups, 1619, and they had Thanksgiving. And they said in 1619, did I have 1610? They gave a day of Thanksgiving. So these are obviously founders. I think I don't think they were Dutch. I think they were English, if I remember right. And they were there, and for 3 years, 1607, they were there 3 years. They had a harvest feast. Then in Jamestown, a little lower than that, they had a feast, and they, you know, had a drought. And, you know, not many of these people are surviving, you know. And their boats came, and they had a day of Thanksgiving, okay, in 1610. 1619. At I won't say where it is, in Virginia somewhere, they had a charter. It says shall be yearly and perpetually kept as a holy day of thanksgiving to Almighty God. So they were going to keep it at that town. Then we have the most famous, if you will, pilgrim one that we're all familiar with, and I'll read a little bit about that. But you can see right away, they, you know, all, since the very beginning of this country, they had a Thanksgiving. It wasn't always when it was, but they had Thanksgiving services that they, one of them had a Thanksgiving feast, it says there, but actually it was also a prayer meeting with the Indians. This one, of course, is the most famous in early history, the Thanksgiving celebration in Plymouth Plantation in the fall of 1621. About 50 pilgrims joined with nearly 100 of the Indians, including the chief, I won't pronounce his name, for a three-day-long festival. Desiring to separate from the Church of England, and like I say, watch that movie and you'll know that, they were persecuted, put in jails if you didn't join the Church of England. To set their own government, the pilgrims had left England aboard the Mayflower in the previous August. So they left one of those ships. They left in August. I mean, that's really not the best time to be leaving because they hit there in November. And can you imagine going through that first winter with little provisions? They couldn't plant crops. So again, the Indians stepped in. The Native Americans helped the colonists to adapt to the New World, just like the early settlers. In 1607, the Indians stepped in to give them a hand, otherwise they would have starved to death. As it was, only 44 out of 102 survived that first winter. 42 out of, the Indians, again, like I say, they'd have been wiped out if it hadn't been for the Indians. But they gave thanks. Pilgrims, what'd they eat? I watched a show that asked people on the street these questions, and nobody got them right. I mean, they had no idea who was the pilgrims, what country they came from. That was everything from Israel to, you know, you name it, Dutch. They had no idea where the pilgrims came from and what they were called. They didn't know they were pilgrims. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring a little history. So when you confront these questions, you know, what is it all about? What is this Thanksgiving about? We can't lose this one. It's not going to be good for us if we forget all about God. What'd they eat? Do we remember that from our high school? Okay. All right, those are all good. Those are all good. They did eat turkey too. They had a lot of wild turkey, and they had lobster also. So you guys are doing really well, better than the outside crowd, let me tell you. And November of 1777, the first national proclamation of Thanksgiving was issued by the Continental Congress following Continental victories over the British general Burrowbone in the Battle of Saratoga. In that proclamation, Congress recommended to the legislative and executive power of the United States to set Thursday, the 18th day of December, of the next solemn thanksgiving and praise. So it's a thanksgiving and praise at that time. You know, they were to praise God Almighty, not the laborers, not praise the work. We were to praise the God Almighty for his thanksgiving. And they were, at that time, they were just going, they declared Declaration of Independence and the Revolutionary War is about to start. Near the end of the Revolutionary War, okay, I guess we just had already gone, 1777, we were just defeated, okay. But after just nearly at the end of the war, after British House Commons had voted to end the war against America, but before the formal signing of the Treaty of Paris, the Congress proclaimed another day of solemn thanksgiving to God for all his mercies. So they were again, they thanked him for the Battle of Saratoga, had the nation praise God for that. And then at the end of the war, they declared another, Congress stepped in and declared that another solemn day of thanksgiving and unto God and for all his mercies. They recognized he saved them. That's the these documents I'm showing you, they actually exist. They're a part of our history. That's the 1882 one, before the signing at Paris. They proclaimed that we are to have a day of thanksgiving unto God for his mercies. 1789. That's the actual document that he penned. It's still in pretty good shape. It's penned by George right down at the bottom there. It says, the first Thanksgiving Day celebrated under the new Constitution took place November 26, 1789, the first year George Washington's presidency. At the encouragement of the House of Representatives, the President Washington proclaimed a day to be devoted to public thanksgiving and prayer, and sent money supplies to debtors in prisons with provisions, and thus beginning the Thanksgiving tradition of charity. 1789. They recognized why we were saved, why we were prosperous. They recognized those things all through our history. We've forgotten. We think it's because of our labor. Although many states, particularly in New England, continued to have annual observance of Thanksgiving, there wasn't another national Thanksgiving Day until Abraham Lincoln. So they proclaimed them year at that particular year of Thanksgiving, if you were. But, you know, and they didn't make it a law, if you will. They didn't set it aside as a public holiday. Thanksgiving until Abraham Lincoln proclaimed it in 1873. All right, I have that proclamation here. Many of the states, you know, there were several states that still honored Thanksgiving in between those years, but now we're talking as a national day, a law, if you will, a national proclamation. And this is by Lincoln. Proclamation, the year, and I'll try to read it the best I can. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with blessings in the fruitful fields and the healthful skies. To our these bounties, which we are constantly enjoyed, we are prone to forget the source which they came. So where did they come from? Others have been added, which are so extraordinary in nature, they cannot fail to penetrate or even soften even the hearts, and which is habitually and insensibly to the ever-watching providence of the Almighty God. So, I mean, he uses a lot bigger words than I use. He's a very well-written man, isn't he? But he gives credit to God. All these things that they have, these blessings, they come from Almighty God. This was spoken at Gettysburg. Next line says this, in the midst of our civil war, of unequaled magnitude and severity, which sometimes seems foreign states to invite and provoke their aggression. Peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has been maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed. Harmony has prevailed everywhere, except in the theater of military conflict, while that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies, which naives the Union. Needful a diversion of the wealth and strength of the fields of peaceful industry to the next.
No, like Daniel Boone, there was a lot. He was a real man, and he got along.
There's a song like that, isn't there?
Yeah. That's because you watched it so much. And you were old.
Yeah, I did.
Yep.
So anyway, that is the history of our Thanksgiving, if you will. And
I have to give Rush a little speech back. There are teachers that are saying that those books cannot be brought to school. And actually, I didn't know. I bought the first and second ones from my grandson. And I read it. And that's not what I learned in school. And I looked it up, and it's the truth. And so here he is trying to teach the real truth to children, and the teachers don't want it, you know, because they're the big. He's trying his best to. Right, but he was told he couldn't even bring it into school to read himself. But that was not allowed.
You know, we as a Christian nation have let these things. We had the power for all these years, and we just other things. You know, Satan's side is very organized, that's for sure. And we've lost some of these things. Anyway, that's his actual speech there. That's that document is hand penned. That speech at Gettysburg. That's so these documents all exist. It's not made up history. Okay, the land according to the decrees of God. And talking about this nation, if you will, I've just got a couple more slides. And it says this, Romans 15:11 says this, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Okay, so that's directly to the Gentiles, us, if you will, all Gentiles. Alma 21:18 says this, and as I have said, so shall it be, for this is the cursing and blessing of this land. Talking about America, a blessing and a cursing. We've already seen that when this land was established, these people, the pilgrims, came over here. His spirit was with them for the sacrifice. He blessed them. We became the most prosperous nation, the most mighty nation on earth. But there's a cursing out there also upon this land. For the Lord cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. And when it talks about if we turn against God and we're in a full degree of iniquity, killing innocent blood, and letting these things go, you know, that you've seen today and you know about them, that's when his cursings can come upon us and will come upon us. But we're at the crossroads, and we've may perhaps got a little reprieve, if you will, because a lot of stuff was just about ready to get driven down the Christian throat, and we've got a little bit of reprieve today with the things that are happening. But we better find our voice and fight for these things. Let us read Ether. Let's turn to that. We haven't turned to many scriptures. Ether 3:31. I got page 729. And the people, would that their father should constrain him, but his father, am I on the right page? Let's see. Let's try it. Would not. And he commanded them that they should constrain no man to be their king. Yeah, I don't think this is it. 331. Let's. I don't think I got the right. Yeah, it's 131 on page 717. It's talking about the decrees of God. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, talking about the Americas, talking about where we stand. That is the land of promise. Whosoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off with the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of the wrath shall come upon them when they are ripened with iniquity. For behold, this is the land which is a choice land above all other lands. Wherefore, he that doth possess it shall serve God, or be swept off. For it is everlasting decree. And we've seen it happen before. We've seen it happen to the Jaredites. You would know them as the Olmecs if you study history. They were swept off and made room for the Mayans. The Mayans and Indians were swept off and made room for us. They did not serve God. And when they didn't anymore, we were allowed to take over this land. And we're about to go into problems soon. Verse 33, and it is not until the fullness of iniquity among the children of this land that they are swept off. Verse 34, and it cometh unto you, O Gentiles, so he's speaking to us directly, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may also repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness be come, that may be brought down to the fullness of wrath of God upon you. And insomuch as the land he hath hereunto done. He's reminding us, he's already done it twice, and he's about ready to do it to us. But behold, this is a choice land, and whosoever nations possess it shall be free from bondage, from captivity, and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of this land, which is Jesus Christ, which has been manifested by the things we have written. It's not the Muslims' land. It's our land. This is our land as long as we serve God. And as long as we do, he'll preserve us. And he's preserved us up to this point. All came before this in the government up until at least Lincoln recognized his providence that we needed to serve him. And now we're forgetful again. But there's a promise. This nation will be great once again. Once we as a people recognize that our strength does not come from our intellect or our labor, but by the blessings of the Almighty God. Let us praise and give thanks unto him because he is worthy. And you know, there is a promise that this nation will be a blessed nation again. He will establish a city here. He will establish a kingdom here again. And it'll be the house of Jacob, particularly Manasseh. There'll be another blessed land over in Jerusalem again after they go through their problems. But it will be a blessed land again here, with or without us. I hope it's with us.